Today we're continuing our series, Finding Hope and Peace at Christmas, and the title today is Hope in God and His Word. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you that your word inspires us and your word is trustworthy and that we are to hope in you and to hope in what you've said. So I pray that my message would produce that in your people today in Jesus' name. Amen. So how important is hope? Yeah, it's very important. In our Alpha Introduction to the Christian Faith, the first video is called, Is There More to Life Than This? And I think it's a great video, but at the end, some of the new people are just finding like all these objections and criticisms. And then after that sort of went through, and that's okay. Alpha's meant for that. People are allowed to like disagree and whatnot. Wei just kind of quietly speaks up and said, actually, this video is very meaningful to me. From a very young age, when I was in grade school, I was wondering, there's got to be more to life than what I'm experiencing. And she talked about how her parents moved away and she felt abandoned. And for years and years, she just wondered, is there more to life? Is there a God? I live in a country where the government tells us there is no God. And it wasn't until she got to the UK in college, she met a Christian. And she said, could you tell me what Christians believe? And this person just looked at Wei and said, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to forgive all your sins? And amazingly, she said it was like a direct ray of sunlight from heaven cut through all her darkness and touched her heart. And she's like, I believe. It was like God just revealed himself to her in that moment. So everybody's listening, going like, oh, well, wow, that's pretty cool. The point is, without hope, she was despairing for years. So on your outline, we all need hope. Without it, life is dark and depressing. This is the Advent season, the coming of Jesus. In Scripture, there's an account concerning Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist, who was born just like 6 months before Jesus was. And I want us to look at that story today. Zechariah and Elizabeth were John's parents. They're a God-fearing couple. They hoped for a child, but as time went on, they became older and they had no children. So they lost hope. Then Zacharias is in the temple and an angel appears to him and says, your prayer's been answered. Your wife's going to bear a son. You should call his name John. So I just love that. Don't be afraid. Your prayer has been heard, are the exact words of the angel. However, he'd lost hope. So even an angel appearing, speaking to you, telling you something's going to happen, couldn't shake him. And he's like, well, how's that going to happen? And the angel replies, I'm Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. He sent me to give you this message. So now you're not going to be able to speak because you did not believe. Look at it on the scripture, please, with me. You did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time. Believing God's words. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Zechariah and Elizabeth were heartsick. Elizabeth later on talks about feeling disgrace that she didn't have any children. You and I have all experienced hope deferred. You have hopes that haven't come to pass. You have prayers that haven't been answered. And so that's a source of discouragement. So God wants to encourage you with this truth. It's number two in your outline. Your prayers have been heard. You could actually write in there, my prayers have been heard. God wants you to know that. He's not ignoring your prayers. Even if they haven't been answered yet, God's hearing them. Zechariah was just like, he'd stopped praying that prayer, but it was heard, whether it was 20 years ago or 40 years ago, however long he was praying it, it was heard, and it just took a long time before it came to pass. Now, sometimes our prayers just are answered with a no. God knows better than we do, and he says no to certain things. It's just like kids. Just the other week, I was out there talking with one of the parents, and kids are saying, can I have some donuts? And it's like, no, no, no. Okay, you can have one donut. Oh, can I have some juice? Can I have? It's just like, want more and more sugar. And what do parents say? They say no. So sometimes God says no, and we have to learn to accept that. Secondly, a lot of our prayers are for people. People have a free will. And so your prayers don't immediately make someone do something they're not inclined to do. So there's this mystery of human free will and God's sovereignty that's at work in our lives and in the world around us. We don't fully understand it, but our job is to pray and to trust God. So my point is, keep on praying. Keep on. It may still happen as you hope. Jesus, whenever he taught on prayer, always used illustrations that demonstrated you need what in prayer? Perseverance. That's the next fill-in. Luke 18:1 on your sheet says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not what? Lose heart. We tend to lose heart. So God wants to keep putting fresh courage into us. I remember years ago in the 90s, one of the members of our church came to a service, and he was so excited because his father had put his faith in Jesus. They had been praying for over 20 years for the dad. And you know what? When you pray for something for 20 years and it happens, you get pretty excited. So that was wonderful. Personally, I'm still praying for a spiritual awakening in Boston. I've been praying for one for about 30 years. So you might say, Dave, like, why do you keep praying? You know, are you just crazy or stupid? Or, well, I might be crazy or stupid, I don't know. But God's word in Isaiah 9 says, the people who sat in darkness will see a great light. And that's happened, Jesus coming into the world. But that just inspires me. I want to pray for my friends and my city and the people around me to see the light of Jesus Christ. So lots of times up early in the morning, I look out from our third floor, and the sun rises, and I see the sunlight coming into the city. And I just quote Isaiah 9:2. I said, come on, Lord. You said the city's in darkness, but you said they'll see your light. Are you with me? Take courage. Your prayers have been heard. Elizabeth did indeed have a baby boy, and her cousin Mary was also visited by the angel Gabriel, who announced that she was chosen to bear the Messiah. And she's like, well, how's that going to happen? I'm a virgin. So you can see the scripture there, Luke 1:35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, and for that reason, the Holy Child shall be called the Son of God. Behold, even your relative Elizabeth has also conceived a son in her old age. She who was called barren is now in her sixth month, for nothing will be impossible with God. So people called Elizabeth barren, but God called her a mother. She bore a child. We can have hope because nothing is impossible with our God. That's the point. Our hope is in God. Elizabeth told Mary she was blessed because she believed what the Lord had promised. That's the next scripture on your outline. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. That is absolutely true for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, you'll be blessed if you believe God's promises. You will be blessed. Believing what God says and promises is a theme in the Bible. Abraham's the father of the Jewish nation. He was called by God. He was promised a son. He was told, in you, through your descendants, all the families on the face of the earth will be blessed. So he was blessed to be what? A blessing. That was our theme for the fall. We're blessed to be a blessing. Well, things didn't happen right away. Some years go by. He loses hope. God visits him, speaks to him. He believes again. Some more years go by. He loses hope. God visits him again. He believes again. It took 25 years. But finally, he had a son just as God promised. Moses. God appears to Moses. He declares, "You're going to deliver my people out of Egypt." What was Moses' response? "Who, me?" Like, I tried that once about 40 years ago, and it didn't work out so well. And I had to flee for my life, and now I'm here. I'm good, Lord. And by the way, I can't speak very well. Nobody will listen to me. And Moses makes all excuses. God doesn't buy it. Sends Aaron, his brother, to speak for him. Shows him a couple of miracles, saying, "This is what I'm going to do when you get there." And we all know, eventually, it happened exactly according to God's word. How about David? David starts out in life as a shepherd boy. He's a teenager watching the sheep. The prophet Samuel comes to his family to anoint the next. David's the youngest, goes to the oldest, the youngest, and finally they call David in from the sheep, the one. So he's anointed with oil. Soon after that, he defeats Goliath, wins this huge victory for the people of Israel. I'm sure David's thinking like, "Wow, God's word, this is great. Everything's going just according to plan." Then what happens? Well, King Saul gets really jealous. Saul personally tries to kill him, spends the next few years chasing David. David's just living in the wilderness for years, hiding from Saul, running away. So did God's word fail? Was Samuel wrong? No. It came to pass. So we see that throughout Scripture, God's word to people takes time. And people are always challenged. Almost everyone that God calls is challenged by having to hope and keep the faith. I think that might be true for us. Our hope is in God and his word. Did you get number five, believing what God says is a theme? He does what he says is the next villain. So look with me, Hebrews 6, 11 and 12 on the outline. This is what the apostle wrote. "We desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Faith and patience, the full assurance of hope. Hope inspires faith and patience in us. We hope something good can happen because we're believing God's word. We are called to imitate Abraham, Moses, and David. Paul wrote of Abraham, it says, "In hope against hope he believed." Romans 4, but it says he also looked at his body, which is about as good as dead, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with regard to the promise of God, he did not grow weak and unbelieving, but he grew strong in faith, believing God could perform what he said he'd do. And that's what I want us to be. We believe God can do what he says he can do and wants to do. You can say amen if you believe that. Thank you. Next, hope produces patience. One of the words for hope in Hebrew is from the root word to wait. And there's lots of places in the Psalms where it says, "Wait patiently for the Lord." So that's your fill-in. Psalm 23, 13 to 14. Let's read this together. "I would have despaired unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord." I love this passage. He's like, I would have given up. I would have just gotten depressed and forgotten it all unless I believed I'd see the goodness of the Lord. God wants us to believe we'll see his goodness. And when we celebrate Thanksgiving, what we're doing is we're thanking God and we're making it a focus to notice all the good things he does, which gives us the courage to persevere for the things that haven't happened yet. Think of God's promise of a Messiah, which is what we're focusing on this time of year. The Messiah was the king who was descended from David, who was to conquer all God's enemies. The prophets like Isaiah, Jeremiah, Micah, all spoke of the Messiah. So what happens? The Jews are conquered by the Babylonians. They're in exile for 70 years for their idolatry. Then they're restored. But does the Messiah come right then? No. Well, then like 100 years goes by. Does the Messiah come then? No. Then 200 years goes by. Does the Messiah come? No. 300 years. No. So some people are believing for the Messiah, and they die without seeing him. Lots of people. Yeah, most of the people. 500 years. So I'm sure a lot of Jews are saying, like, well, Messiah, what the heck? You know, this is ridiculous. Why are we believing this? This obviously isn't going to happen. But some people are faithful. I say, no, God said it, and God's faithful. God is God. He's still going to do it. Well, then some wise men show up in Jerusalem, and they're directed to King Herod, and they say, oh, where's the one who's born of the Jews? We've seen a star from the east. It's led us here. We want to worship him. Herod wasn't exactly thrilled about that. Herod was a very jealous, wicked man, killed lots of people. Anybody he thought might be in opposition to him, he murdered. So he said, oh, well, they called the priests in. He didn't know where the Messiah is. Well, the priests knew the prophet Micah, and this is on your sheet, Micah 5, verse 2. They said, oh, the Messiah will be born in Bethlehem. And Micah prophesied, oh, you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, are only a small village among all the people of Judah, yet a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past. Jesus is from the distant past, right? He's existed in heaven. Will come from you on my behalf. That was 700 years before it happened. And they went to Bethlehem, and they found the Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No one can stop our God from accomplishing what he's decided to do. And we need to live with that. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Hope is not wishful thinking. Hope isn't just like, oh, it's all going to be great, when there may be no indication that it's going to be great. Hope is seeing things really like Abraham did, seeing how bad or hard it is, and responding with, I still believe. Now, what are some promises of God that he wants all of us to believe? Well, number 10 on your outline, God's word says you are loved just the way you are. God demonstrated his love for us while we were still what? Sinners. It says Christ died for the ungodly. Isn't that wonderful? If Scripture said Jesus Christ died for the godly, most of us would be in despair because there wouldn't be any hope for us. We're not godly. But he died for the ungodly that we'd be justified by faith in him as a gift. So we give gifts at Christmas because grace is a gift of God to us. The angel said, I bring you good news of great joy for how many people? All people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. One thing every person in the city of Boston, every person on planet Earth needs is a Savior. We all need forgiveness. There's no one on planet Earth who doesn't need God's forgiveness. And so God sent his Son to to bring that forgiveness. So you're loved just the way you are. Secondly, this means all your sins are forgiven when you acknowledge them and acknowledge Jesus as the Savior. How fantastic is that? That's why we worship every Sunday when we get together. That's why I really appreciate when we have an open mic and you come up and you speak with real, genuine earnestness about what you love about Jesus. Your love is not misplaced. All your sins are forgiven. He's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We are prone to doubt. As a pastor, one of the number one things people say to me when they're struggling is, I feel God's disappointed in me. I feel God doesn't love me or whatever. All those thoughts along those lines are from the enemy. And so we have to remind ourselves of the gospel, that we're saved by grace. The last point I want to make is there's a promise that God will give you what you don't deserve, which is his Holy Spirit. Down at the bottom there, Jesus in John 7:37 said, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. And what's it go on to say? From your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. He was speaking of the Spirit who was to be given. God's Spirit coming into your life is a gift. Hope and peace are a gift from God. The power to turn away from sin is a gift from God. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be people who become holy. We don't just celebrate grace and do whatever we want. We live for the one who died for us and rose again. Hallelujah. Psalm 146, verse 5 says this, happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth. When you need help, you have the God who made heaven and earth who comes to your aid. Can we all say amen? Amen. Praise God. Well, hey, let's get the worship team up here. Let's pray. Let's just take a moment. I want you to take a time where you live busy lives. Take a moment or two to talk to the Lord. If you're lacking hope, you're troubled, you're lacking peace, tell him. Share exactly what it is that's bothering you and disturbing you. Jesus says, come to me. If you're thirsty, come to me. If you're weary, come to me. So, Father, bless your people. Enable them to pray right now. Enable them to come to you, Father. Let them share their hearts with you. Let them look to you and be radiant this morning. Thank you, Lord.